You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Let's get back to the calls, and Michael is in Georgia. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. This is actually, you can just call me Big Jeff. My son called you, sat on hold, kind of a trick. I made him sit on hold to get through to you. But I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, thanks for having Sam Pittman on. I am really turning into a big Sam Pittman fan. I love his style. I love the way he carries himself, and he's doing great things out there. Also, want to point out and give Tennessee credit. Coach Hopple's doing a wonderful job up there. He's building that program to something really special. Georgia, what can we say about Georgia? I live 45 minutes from Athens. I live with a diehard dog fan, and I'm a diehard Gator. So what does that tell you about this work family? But, man, just to touch on the Gators, people got to give them a chance, including myself. That game against Kentucky, I threw my remote. I broke my glasses. I all but had a coronary event. I mean, it was just devastating to watch. It was almost like, and I'd like to get your opinion, but it seemed like I want to give Richardson all the credit in the world and believe in him, but it was kind of the same thing last year. After, you know, the Georgia game, it was like he had that deer in the headlights look. And same thing after Utah. I think it just suck the life out of him, and he doesn't have the confidence in himself.
Well, you know, Michael, confidence is critical for a quarterback and really critical for anyone in athletics. Hey, thank you for the call, though, and thanks you for your son for hanging in there. Bruce is up next.
Hey, Paul, I talked to you a little bit ago, and you went right on the TV with that guy from Tennessee. Be honest, Paul, you're not giving Florida a chance at all, and you don't want them to win, do you?
Eric is up next in Alabama. Eric, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, first, I'd like to say War Eagle, even though it ain't looking too good down on the plane. But either way, I had a question for you, man. I know you talk to coaches and stuff, and you kind of know how this works more than your regular feller does. But anyway, I don't see much emotion out of Brian Harsin on the sideline. And so I just wonder, and I want to get your opinion on this, what you think. Do you think that he's just not giving 100% and he's just ready for them to cut the check and let him go? And, you know, maybe he's leaving practice early, calling his agent, you know, or whatnot like that. And just, you know, get your idea, get your opinion on it, because you talk to these coaches, you know more, a little bit more than, like, say, us regular folk do. So what do you think about that? And I hang up, listen to you, listen to you comment.
Number one, I don't think Brian Harsin is doing anything other than going as fast as he can. There's no way that he's trying to do anything of the sort. I think he's committed. I think he's focused. He's one of the most intense coaches that I have dealt with. And, yeah, there's no question he hears the noise. He's got a family. He's got a wife. He's got people around him. I mean, we act like these guys don't have any idea. And I talked to Harsin about this the other day when we were in Auburn. And you can only block it out so much, but you can't completely – this isn't the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s where – you know, you're not aware of your surroundings because there's only three or four different news outlets. Brian Harsin knows exactly what's being said about him. And there's just nothing he can do about it. And all you can try to do is You just try to stay away from it as much as you can and not get caught up in it. But I would strongly suggest that Brian Harsin is as committed today as he's ever been. That can change over time. Another couple of losses, and yeah, I think he's going to have a hard time maintaining his cool and composure, because it's going to be obvious that he's not going to be around. But right now, I don't think that's entered into his consciousness. There's too much else going on to try to get ready for a game, especially when two of your three quarterbacks, one's gone for the season, the other one's out for the time being, and you're trying to prepare your second or third string quarterback. Thanks for the call. In this case is second string quarterback. John is up next in Georgia. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was just calling to get your opinion on the thought that regionality in college football is dead or is dying. We see the Pac-12 is effectively dead with USC and, to a much lesser extent, UCLA leaving. And the Big 12 as well will be dead with Texas and Oklahoma gone. So what are your thoughts on how the SEC will stack up to the Big 10 moving forward?
Well, I think if it stays right here, they'll stack up quite well, because the SEC is deeper, and you know there's just a lot more to the SEC, even with Southern Cal. Southern Cal is on a rise right now, but UCLA is laughable. Chip Kelly has done virtually nothing to resurrect that program, so they're not going to add anything. And I think the Big Ten, while it has a lot of power, you know, it has Michigan, Ohio State, Southern Cal in the future, Iowa, Penn State, you know, you have a lot of programs like Nebraska that are non-existent. You have a lot of other programs like Northwestern and Maryland, who really, you know, Indiana, Purdue, who, you know, from time to time show up on the radar, but not consistently. So the regionality of college football is changing. You have the game in Oklahoma going away, the Bedlam game. You know, I look at that and go, well, so what? There'll be better games. You don't think, I mean, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's a big game. It's not Oklahoma, Texas, which is still going to happen. I'll take Oklahoma and Alabama, or Oklahoma and Arkansas, or Oklahoma and Texas A&M. So let's not act like these things haven't happened before in college football. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check in next with Chris, who is in Georgia. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I hope you and the staff and the whole studio are all doing great. So, quick question for you. If Georgia does have a loss this season within the conference, who do you think the most detrimental loss would be to? And I'm leaning more towards Kentucky or Tennessee.
Well, I think it depends, not to to give you a professorial type of answer here, but if Georgia only has one loss – and Kentucky and Tennessee have multiple SEC losses, it won't be as significant. They'll still end up playing in Atlanta, and they'll still have a shot at getting to the playoffs. It becomes more of an issue if Tennessee's undefeated, which, again, sounded ridiculous maybe a couple of months ago, but doesn't sound quite as absurd anymore. So I think their toughest game will be at Kentucky, primarily because it's on the road. I think the Tennessee game will be a challenge, but Georgia is going to be extremely difficult to beat at home. Hey, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's
yes, sir.
Let's talk to Gavin next in Tennessee. Hey, Gavin.
Hey.
What's going on with you, Gavin?
I was just wondering if what's your thoughts were on the
floor. My guy, like Georgia's the best.
Gavin was 11. It sounded like maybe one of his brothers was trying to get on the call as well. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well,
Mr. Feinbaum, I try my best to slow everything down, but it's hard, man. When your adrenaline is pumping like no tomorrow, what do you want me to do? When you have 5 to 6 cups of coffee, you know it goes down all the way. But let me tell you something, Mr. Feinbaum. Texas A&M Aggies, your boy Matt in San Antonio promoted. They're going to have one loss. I guess it was to Appalachian State. Now they're going to lose to Arkansas, and then they're going to lose to their baby daddy, Alabama Crimson Tide, which is 2 to 3 weeks. But here's the thing, Mr. Matt in San Antonio. Just shut up, little boy. Pick down, you acknowledge me as your baby daddy, just like Jim from Tuscaloosa should. Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum.
Boy, we've really missed him, haven't we? Let's take a break. We'll head back to Knoxville in a minute. Blake Topmeyer will join us to give us his view of the weekend's showdown between Florida and Tennessee. We're an hour away from Griff. I didn't mean to say that. I don't want to run anybody off. Blake is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Let's get right to our next guest, who is Blake Topmeyer from USA Today. He's also covered Tennessee for a number of years, so he's pretty familiar with what is happening this weekend in Knoxville. Blake, thank you for the time. Great to have you on. We read your piece about what's necessary here today. Have you called a priest to try to help exorcise the demons of yesteryear? Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Truly, that's what it feels like, because I think if you look at this game on paper, Tennessee has a better team. They have the better quarterback. I think they have better wide receivers. They have the settled-in coach. They have the home field advantage, and that crowd, as you know, will be buzzing on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. So they have all the advantages on paper, but we know in this series it is rarely that simple. You know, a lot of years when Tennessee has lost to Florida, Florida has had the better team, but that has not always been the case. There have been a handful of games during this stretch here of almost two decades where you thought maybe Tennessee had a little bit of an advantage, but then come game day, so many times it didn't show up. And so for all the football reasons, I think Tennessee is the better team in this game. But you know, when you start thinking about some of those other factors and the mental factors and the psyche, you wonder, does that come into play? Because historically, you know, like I said, it's just rarely ever so simple against Florida.
And Blake, to me, it just seems like this is not even a contest. And I say that to the extreme. I know it is. And I know what you've written, and we've all watched it in real time. But there's also some people, and I know you know them, and I do too, who are worried. They're not as convinced as maybe we are, or I am, that this thing is for real. What would you say Tennessee fans should be concerned about if you want to put on the worry meter?
I think if we're going to do the worry meter, it's probably kind of getting into your own head. It's probably getting too cranked up, too wired up early. I think emotions will obviously run high. And then two, if you let Anthony Richardson run wild on you, I think that's sort of the X factor too. I mean, I think both Kentucky and South Florida did a really nice job of containing his legs. And we haven't really seen, I don't think with consistency, that Anthony Richardson can beat you through the air. But I'm kind of with you, Paul. Like, I think Tennessee wins this game. I think Tennessee wins this game comfortably. But I've spoken with a lot of people in the last week or two that are feeling very uneasy about this matchup, very nervous. And I do think it's because of the demons of yesteryear. And I also think Tennessee fans have been through this enough times before, right? They've been teased with optimism. They've been teased with a brighter future, and they've been burned. And I will credit Tennessee faithful, because this time around, it does seem like there's a little cautiousness. There's a little pumping the brakes. There's a little, yeah, but we've been through this before. Where's the pitfalls here? And I actually think that's healthy. I think that, you know, that keeps expectations and reality in check a little bit, which hasn't always been the norm around Tennessee. And again, I think it's just Tennessee fans and the boosters and on down the line, they've been burned before. They've seen this thing go sideways before, and I think they're taking more of a cautious outlook this time to it.
Blake, sometimes you really just measure yourself against the schedule, but fans always love to declare something back and legitimate and contenders before maybe the data supports that. So Tennessee's beaten Pittsburgh. We know that. They're a good team, maybe not a great team. They won in a clutch situation. They really haven't played anybody else, and they'll play Florida tomorrow and LSU and all the usual suspects, and they won seven games last year. So does all of that really justify this Tennessee is back and Tennessee is going to do this and that I'm sure you could hear in any bar in Knoxville tonight?
Yeah, I don't know that you'd hear it as much as you think, Paul. I really think that the brakes have been pumping a little bit on the Tennessee is back. You know, I think Tennessee fans have been burned by that before. Yeah, I mean,
it's just the people I work with that I'm hearing it from.
Maybe. We might be talking to different folks, Paul, because I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing, I think Tennessee feels like it's on the way up. I think they are pleased with Josh Heupel. But I don't hear a lot of the Vols are back. I don't hear a lot of, Tennessee's coming for Georgia and Alabama. I think Tennessee knows it's in a better place than it was a couple years ago. I think there's a lot of folks that have been pleasantly surprised with how quickly this rebuild has gone under Josh Heupel. And then also, I think Tennessee has done a nice job of taking advantage of an opportunity in the East. You know, I mean, Florida went into a tailspin last year, still beat Tennessee, but then went into a tailspin, and there was Tennessee at the end of the season sitting at second in the East. They, by beating a lot of the teams that historically you would think they should be. But again, I don't think anybody's talking about Tennessee, you know, leapfrogging Alabama or Georgia, you know, in the next 12 months. But I think, you know, the folks who feel optimistic about Saturday see a Florida team that has a poorly stocked cupboard, I think, and is going to take a little bit of time before Billy Napier can possibly get this thing rolling. And for the first time, maybe in a while, you can say Tennessee has a better team than Florida. And I don't think there's really much question about that.
Yeah. And maybe a better question is what happens if Tennessee lives up to the expectations this weekend and rolls over Florida. Then it does get real, though, because there's a lot of pretty average to bad teams in the SEC that Tennessee should easily beat this year. And then there are the next couple of weeks. I know there's LSU in a couple of weeks. That game, I think there's a bye. Is there a bye week next week? It looks like there is. And then LSU, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. That is really the whole season there, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, if they come out and just trounce Florida, I think expectations will then ratchet up a notch. And you're right, that there's a bye, and then there's a road game at LSU, and then there's Alabama. I mean, that's obviously an important two-game swing, and you have Kentucky toward the end of October. I mean, those are three big ones there. And I think if Tennessee comes out and just destroys Florida, you're going to hear some of the more optimistic folks in the Orange Bunch thinking this is possibly a 10-2 team this season. Because frankly, you know, if Tennessee drills Florida, you could look at their schedule and make a very reasonable case that they can and maybe should beat everybody on their schedule except for Alabama and Georgia the rest of the way. But I think even coming into this season, Paul, I think a lot of people looked at this Tennessee team as being ready to step forward a little bit, move from 7 wins to maybe 8 or 9. I still feel like 10 wins is a lofty ceiling that leaves you no real margin for error in any of those games that you feel like you need to win outside of Alabama and Georgia. But yes, I think if you beat Florida because of what that symbolizes, even though Florida's down this year, because of the rivalry, because of the way this series history has gone, I think Tennessee beating Florida would be so much bigger than beating Pittsburgh on the road, even though Pittsburgh very well might have a better team than Florida. Because of the rivalry, because of what this game means to Tennessee, because of the history, this is a huge game for Tennessee this weekend to kind of, I guess, cleanse some of the last decade and a half of disappointments that have followed this program.
Well, you have to overcome all those things one game at a time, or in, according to your article, with an exorcist. Exorcism. Blake, thank you. Enjoy the weekend, and let's hope it goes as everyone is predicting, and then we won't have to be exercising any more demons. So let's head to the break. Much more to come. A conversation with Griff, who is also in Knoxville, I understand. He may be the exorcist. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. Jared is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jared, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. So me and my buddy here, he's a South Carolina fan. I'm a huge Georgia fan. We're wondering why Shane Beamer's getting all the hate on national media and especially on websites like Twitter, because we think Shane Beamer's the right guy for the job, but we truly don't know what the hate's coming from. And also, how long do you think until he gets this program really going?
Well, my question back to you is: can you help me out understand where the hate is? Because I'm not sure I've seen it.
It's all over Twitter.
Okay, and who specifically is hurling hate at Shane Beamer?
It's a lot of Barstool Sports mostly.
And you take Barstool Sports seriously?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. Well, I just asked a question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've seen their stuff.
Yeah, I trust Dave Portnoy.
What are they? I did a podcast with those guys once, and it was quite entertaining. And then my company wouldn't let me do it anymore. My question back. I don't really think in the world I live in, I'm seeing a lot of hate, frustration maybe for an absolutely. Anemic performance, but that's understandable when your two biggest rivals, one last year and one this year, just completely annihilate you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You think Shane Beamer will ever get the program going?
I think. I think it's really early. I mean, I thought last year was exceeded expectations, and I joked about it in the offseason that he probably did too well, and I think that may have been prophetic because when you win eight games, there's a sense that, well, you have to do better. And I didn't think there was any way he could come close to that this year, or maybe not necessarily come close. But, you know, and by the way, as far as, you know, what I understand, you know, the appeal of Barstool Sports. I don't want to act like I don't. But I wouldn't take them that seriously in terms of Shane Beamer. I'll check out exactly what they're saying. But the people that I know that matter in the world of the SEC, I don't know anyone down on Shane Beamer.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, yeah, Paul.
Not looking for a world war with Barstool Sports, but if they want one, they'll get it. Let's talk to Wayne in Baton Rouge. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Coach. I want to talk to you. I seen on the scroller down there that the LSU football has been put on NCAA probation, and I was wondering, it was a Class 2 aggravated violation, and I just wondered what the – I didn't see any penalty in the article, and I was just wondering if you might have –
Yeah, I read something about it, Wayne. It's a fairly complicated issue. So let me get to the instead of going through a laborious explanation, I don't think it means very much. There was a coach who was let go, and there was a lot of things that happened on Ogeron's watch, and I think there were multiple investigations going on. My read from a distance, without being in the middle of it, is it's not going to affect anything, okay?
Yeah.
That's a quick read, and may not be the most educated read, but I think it's probably the right read. Thank you very much for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's talk to Alan next in Louisiana. Hello, Alan.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? I listened to you a long time, first-time caller.
Thanks a lot.
Say, my problem is, I've been around football all my life, man. I'm 70 years old. I don't understand how some of these teams can beat weak teams all the time. The last couple, you know, we're early in the season. But I think that the NCAA is overlooking LSU. I think LSU is up and coming. I really do. I think that they took a third-best defense in the conference, and they riddled them last game. The last half, they just run right over them, and they shut them down. But yet, no respect, Paul. I'm confused about it.
I don't know about no respect.
Maybe kill me.
Listen, I want to say this about fans. I mean, every fan sees their own team through a specific and often narrow prism. I thought it was a really big win. To me, that was significant. We had Jaden Daniels on yesterday, the quarterback at LSU, and I couldn't wait to hear his version of what happened, because you're right. Last week, Mississippi State was the talk of the SEC. So I think it was a big deal, and it was a good bounce back, and suddenly LSU is in a really good spot. That's how I see it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's talk to Ed next in Georgia. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Paul, I'm calling in reference to that Shane Beamer comment that just came through.
Yeah.
All of the hate he's getting is from a video posted. I can't remember the guy's name. I saw it on Twitter where he referenced that last year, even though, you know, all of the games, they didn't – I think, you know, I can't remember the record last year, but they ended up winning 10 fourth quarters.
Right.
Instead of, you know, the whole ball game. You just referenced what they won in the fourth quarter. And a lot of people are giving him hate, saying it's like a Butch Jones-esque type thing.
Yeah, and let me say this about Ed. I mean, everybody subscribes to a different group of influencers, and I don't mean to act like, well, just because I didn't see it, but I would also warn people. I mean, don't get hung up on, I'm in the middle of it sometimes too. I'll make some random comment about some fan base, and the next thing you know, it looks like I've spent the entire month hating on them when it's a flippant comment. It happened yesterday to a school. Now, in Beamer's case, I mean, the only thing I saw about Beamer, he addressed, and that was the fact that he was trying to rush these young women off the field who were being honored as pioneers of Title IX, or not be representative of the Title IX anniversary. And the way Beamer explained it, he didn't realize what was going on. He just wanted everybody off the field so they could get back to the game. And then once he realized what had happened, he apologized, and a lot of people criticized him for that. But, you know, you're always going to get detractors when you get your head blown off at home, even to the best team in the country.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think that's where a lot of the hate has come, with snippets of some of his press conferences where
the social media is a big tool right now, and because somebody says something doesn't mean that that's really the norm. There is a domino effect. I will say that. And now, because one person can say something and it gets repurposed, and all of a sudden you look at it and go, man, I see this on Saturday night where a bunch of people on Twitter will say, you know, let's say Tennessee loses this weekend to Florida, just to give you an example. And, you know, a bunch of drunk Tennessee fans who lost money on the game start posting, Josh Heupel needs to get fired. And suddenly there'll be a website out there, I promise you, who will grab five or six of these things, and the headline will be Heupel under fire for disaster against Florida. And if you don't really know what you're looking at, you're thinking, man, that's normal, though. That's the modern world that we live in, and it's not so modern because it used to be that way on talk radio. I mean, just to show for an example, last week Alabama won a game, and you had Legend in here demanding change, and then the father of the defensive coordinator calls in. And if you don't know what you're watching, you think the Alabama program is coming apart at the seams. It really wasn't. Let's take a short break. Enough lecture. More of your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to our show, and let's talk to Jim next. Hello, Jim.
Well, Paul, I got some good news for you. I think it's good news, but and believe me, you know me, it's not a suck-up call. I don't do suck-up calls. But I have never, and I've heard somebody else say this today, never heard you on this show better than you're doing today. Never in my life. The job you're doing today is phenomenal. I mean, it's really no nonsense. No foolishness, seriousness, straight to the point. You're doing a great job today. This is the kind of show I used to listen to. This is a great show. That's all I can tell you. And I mean that.
Well, thank you. I mean, what gets me, though, Jim, and I'm obviously you agree, is just is somebody saying something, and if you, I just want to know the substance of what people are claiming, and that's all I've been doing today. And then one guy just didn't like anything I was doing, but that's okay.
But because they want you, Paul, you know the whole story. They want you to agree with them. They want off the bat, and that's not what you're doing. You're just telling it. You, I'm telling you, you've got a sapient mindset today, and this is coming from a sapient mindset. That's what you're doing, is just doing your job the way it professionally should be, and it's a great, it's an excellent show, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing about the, I mean, most of these callers, whether you agree or disagree, have been serious sports fans. They haven't been the drama queens from
Well, I hadn't thought of it. Yeah, yeah, that might be the test for you when you get a drama queen.
We did have one exception. We had Matt calling in earlier.
Yeah, but you handled that well. You handled that well. You didn't. I'm really impressed. I mean, this is what I love to hear is a professional broadcaster doing an excellent job of what's going on and telling it like it is.
But Jim,
and
if just I could not, just talk to you off the air here, on the air, do you think I can get away with this, though? Because if I don't do all the sucking up, don't you think I'll lose the base?
No, Paul. Right. What you lose will be a benefit to you, and what you gain will be an asset. Do you hear me?
No, that was good advice.
And that's exactly the truth. I know, because I know the radio game, Paul. I think you know that. And no, you'll gain doing what you're doing today, and what you lose will be a good loss, a profitable loss.
So sometimes in business, and you hear this, you just have to let a customer walk out of the store because he's creating such a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How about AC? You let him off. You let him out of the store, and I don't know why you let him back in, but, hey, that was all right.
Well, no,
you
did a Jim, brief... after AC walked out of the store, we changed the locks.
I'm just telling you, though, Paul. I'm not kissing up to you. It's really been a good show. I've heard most of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Heard you. I mean this. I have never heard you better than this first show, first hour and a half of this show. I'm telling you, never heard you better.
Well, I am going to continue to try to keep it in the road, as we say.
Thank you, and I it's enjoyable when you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jim. Jim with a rare compliment. Mr. Hooper is up next.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I'd like to ask you a question. About 20 minutes ago, a gentleman called in and asked you a question about Florida. I think it was a double question. I'm not sure. And you just abruptly hung up on him. Now, you know, you speak of integrity, you speak of credibility, you speak of sensitivity, and this is our show. It's not really our show. It's your show. When you can hang up on somebody like that, now I'm sitting here listening to Jim and Legend and all these other cats. You never abruptly hang up on them. So I'd just like you to answer, why did you abruptly hang up on him and treat him with such rudeness?
Well, he had called previously, and he was upset that I was not agreeing with his point of view about Florida. And I just felt like, number one, we'd already talked to him. And number two, I felt like the show would be better if we just moved on without addressing the issue and calling more attention to something that I think we had already settled.
Okay, well, that's a fair answer, and I appreciate your
Thank
fair
you very
perspective.
Much. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of schools of thought to in media. Do you harp on something or you just move on? And my philosophy is always just keep moving, as opposed to spending another 3 minutes debating about the previous call, which wasn't all that great in the first place. Let's talk to JT in Laguna Beach. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, Paul, Professor Feinbaum, that is, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know it's a foregone conclusion. I'm a longtime Auburn fan. I've called before. But if I may, can I just offer a few points about the Brian Harsin situation?
Of course. I wish you would.
Okay. Well, first of all, of course, I don't have all the facts. But being painfully familiar with how things are run at Auburn and going by the circumstantial evidence, I mean, first of all, we know what the real issue is here. Let me just break it down. It's the fact that these big money spoiled brats who didn't get their way, Harsin was doomed from the get-go. he was never going to be given a chance. He was going to be gone as soon as they could get rid of Allen Green, if not sooner. So that's basically the whole, that's it in a nutshell. The rest of it is just making the rubble bounce. But,
JT, I tend to agree with you, which is why I think we argued so loudly last week for Harsin to have a good performance with his team. And when that didn't happen, all of a sudden I had people ask me, well, don't you think maybe the boys in the back room were right? And I'm saying, no, they weren't. They weren't right.
Can I address that? Outrageous. Yeah, may I address that, though, Paul?
Yes.
The reason they're not doing any, they're having so many struggles and don't have a quarterback, first of all, how can you recruit when from day one, those recruiting against you are telling these kids, you don't want to go to Auburn. The ones who are recruiting you now will not be there. They knew. I mean, these kids aren't dumb. And even, you know, one who's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier would know better than that.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.